Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, you... No, Wretched, when you see it, you smell it. Would you please send it to idea@wretched.org? This is Wretched Radio. We need wretched things. You know what wretched is. It's a sermon. It's a story. It's an article. It is, well, it's Ezekiel 4:9 original tortillas. That would be wretched. Right? This actually got sent in to idea@wretched.org. Ezekiel 4:9 bread has been out for a bit. I know because I used it when we recorded Herman Who. That's how far back. So a number of years, it's a very popular, supposedly healthy bread. When the title of it would lead you to believe it's actually based on a Bible verse. It's not. What is Ezekiel 4:9 bread? It is a bread of judgment. It's not a health food. It's not going to help you get your vitamins and minerals and give you fiber and be without gluten. That's not what it's about. It is a bread of judgment. Those ingredients were like, ugh. Why? Because Israel was being very, very bad. And God told them, you're going to eat this bread. Now, it doesn't give cup and measurements. It just says, these are the ingredients. In other words, it's not the best bread ever. Furthermore, it was to be cooked. Sorry, it was to be cooked over a flame that was generated from dried human feces. Ezekiel petitions God, oh, please don't make them eat that. God relents. Cow dung was used. That's Ezekiel 4:9 bread. Somebody's turned it into an industry. And now, courtesy of somebody who sent this to idea@wretched.org, they've got original tortillas. So maybe that's if you use like a Spanish translation of Ezekiel 9. You come up with original tortillas. Would have never seen this without you. Jimmy, have you tried cauliflower crust?
Yes.
And your review?
I like it.
But you have to cook it.
Well, you do have to cook it. We've mainly used it with homemade pizza.
Yeah, that's what I, okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, so Tom and Ray are just like giddy over this stuff because it doesn't have gluten or anything.
Right.
So I'm at the grocery store. I see it. It was probably near the Ezekiel 4:9 tortillas. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give it a go. Brought it home and it's like, you have to bake it? This is too much. I thought it'd be like a little pita thing that you could stuff, but apparently it's good for your guts because of all the stuff that we tend to put into our bread here in America. You got any other diet tips? Send them to idea@wretched.org, especially if they're wrongly based on a Bible verse. And if you'd like to question, comment, conundrum, or snark, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, last week you talked about how sin cannot separate us from God. Can you explain?
Yeah. If you're in Christ, if you're outside of Christ, that is, sin is precisely what separates us, I would add, from the goodness of God. I don't think it's enough to say that going to hell separates you from God, because God is present everywhere. You are separated from the goodness of God. What are they getting in hell? They're getting the wrath of God. They are getting his peculiar work, as Isaiah described it, a provoked work. They get nothing good there. They're separated from all things good, which is all things God. That separation from God That's what sin does to you outside of Christ. But once you're in, even your stupid sins, even your weaknesses cannot separate you from the love of God. Paul could not have been more emphatic about this. He gave just a redundant laundry list. Well, it wasn't redundant. It was just like, okay, we get the point. What can separate you from the love of God? Neither height nor depth. Well, that should have been enough, but he made height, depth, width. No, that was the breadth of love of Christ. Nothing can separate you, not angels, not principalities. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing is a very, very complex Greek word that means nothing. So list it. What do you think can get you out of the kingdom? Your weakness? That falls under the category of nothing. Is it your sin? That would again be a falling underneath the descriptor. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Is it your lack of faithfulness? Nothing. Now, if you're hearing this and you're going, hey, quit giving people a pass. I'm not trying to give people a pass when it comes to sin, but I am trying to give an encouragement that God's grace is that expansive. It is that deep. It is that high. It is that wide. It is that lofty. It is that inexhaustible in Christ. And that is the very knowledge that we need in order to not desire to sin. Nothing means nothing. But please don't send nothing to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Ian. Todd, I have a question regarding the Play the Man resource. I'm a 19-year-old college student at a Baptist university who has struggled with this sin, but I've seen victory over the last several months. Can I use this resource for fellow students and other people? And if so, how?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I lack in the evangelism department, but I want to grow in my abilities.
Oh, here's what I would encourage you. There's a number of things you could do with this. If you're not familiar, visit FortisInstitute.org/playtheman. It's a book that I wrote. It's about 20,000 words. And at the end of each chapter, it has three questions that I think help process and meditate on the content a little bit more than not having any sort of questions at the end. So go there, young man, order the cards. They're free. How busy is your campus? Do a little reconnaissance. What's the foot traffic like? What time is it busiest? And then grab these cards. We even pay for shipping and hand them out. Hey, dude, here you go. Hey, I don't know if you need help with this or not, but here you go. This is really good. Hey, this might be helpful. And just pass them out. Now, if you want to get a group of your buds together, this is the type of stuff I would plead with you to do if you are a young college student, especially if you're getting ready to run off to uni. You're all excited about everything. Got it. And sports are going to start. And who the roommate is. And, oh, I got to bring this and I can't bring that. All of that fun stuff and meeting people and even the smells of the campus on fall. That's actually one thing I miss from school. There was something about fall and going to the campus that was just kind of special. So you're feeling all of that, but don't overlook the preparation for guarding your soul. Please become a member of a good local church at university. If you don't, I'm telling you, I'm not going to play one of those Las Vegas betting games, but I'd be tempted if it came to betting on whether you're going to stand or fall. If you're not a member of a local church, you're going to tumble. It's almost a certainty. I hate to even leave that crack, but I can't definitively say nobody has ever stood by not becoming a member of a local church at university. But dude, if you're not, it's just too tempting. Just too much. And there's too much ability to sin. There's so much darkness available. You can slink in the shadows and in the corners. And mom and dad and your church at home never know, but your local church will. Second, start doing things like this young man is asking about. Find Christian friends. They might not know. They probably won't be the coolest people on campus. They might even be kind of dorky, but they're better friends than anybody else there. Why? Because you need something deeper in common, something richer, something eternal in common, as opposed to athletics, you're on the chess team, you're in the science class. Nice. Those are connectors, but nothing comes close to Christian fellowship. You need to be with Christian friends. Make them your best friends. Find them. And then do stuff like this. Get the book. Give it to everybody and say, all right, we're going to go through. I think there's 20 chapters. They're not long chapters, obviously. And apparently they average about 1,000 words or less. Although the first chapter is a little longer. I grant you that. Read it and then ask those questions and talk to each other about what you can do so that a young man can keep his way pure. That is the stuff that you need to be doing. And I will say this, if you're a young person and you're listening to this because you're locked in your parents' car and you have to, and you're not wanting to do these things, at the very least, you're immature. I know that's kind of a mean sounding word, but you're immature. Take heed lest you fall. Don't be immature. Don't be unwise. Be wise. Be wise. Do these things. At the very least, if you don't want to do these things, you're being foolish. Worst case scenario, you're not saved. Not kidding. This is Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered booklet that it's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
Question: what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Then prove me wrong. This is Wretched Radio. Have you just heard my final diatribe in that last segment. And you went, hey, dude, not cool. Saying that if I don't want to get plugged into a local church and make Christians my best friends at the university, that I'm being unwise or I'm being downright foolish. Well, I'm not backing down from that. Or you're saying, dude, you said that I might not be saved. Yep, you might not be saved because a Christian does not overlook his soul. What does it profit a man or woman if they go to university and they get on every athletic team, they receive accolades from their peers, they get DEI money, but they lose their soul? It's not a game. Don't go to university without preparation. David, I would point you toward, you want a book on this? Here's another thing that would indicate you're serious and you're mature and you're saved. Get David Wheaton's book, University of Destruction. You have no idea how prepared they are for you to not just assist you, but to encourage you and enable you and find all the tools that you need to deconstruct your faith. I'm telling you, a secular university and most Christian universities, of course, I'm not talking about the Masters University in California. No siree, Bob. Masters.edu. I'm talking about most. They're out to get you. They are out to dismantle your faith. They aren't playing. Don't be lax. Don't be immature. Be wise. And then prove me wrong. Prove to me or to your parents or to yourself that you are a Christian by becoming a member of a local church on a university campus. Rather than just going and bristling at it, do it. Just do it. Step into it, man. Step into it, woman. Be earnest about your soul. I know you're probably not thinking about this overtly, but there's something that you're experiencing where you're kind of giddy about going to university because your parents, it's cool. You're transitioning. That's fine. You're away from your parents. But if you aren't also simultaneously thinking about the dangers that accompany that freedom, I'm scared for you. So are your parents. Prove us all wrong. Become a member of a local church and be different than your peers. Just be different. No, I can't go out late Saturday night. I got to be up for church Sunday morning. What? You're going to be a light in a dark place. And then get up and go. And I'm telling you, even if you're maybe not enthused about it, and even when your flesh says it sure would have been more fun to go out Saturday night, you will actually feel something more profound when you're obedient and wise and mature and striving for godliness. You will feel something. I wish I could articulate this better, but feelings are always kind of vague. But when it comes to discretion, there is something about being discreet, appropriately discreet, not hiding the truth because you don't want to get in trouble, but just practicing discretion. Or similarly, at least a cousin, first cousin, that you are keeping a confidence. When you do those two things, it's been my experience, you feel good. I know that's vague sounding. It's like, I can't tell you exactly what the sense is, but it's like, because I didn't do what would have been natural and easy to just let it fly, let it go. Or, hey, they told me that I shouldn't tell anybody, but I just wanted you to know that, blap, out you go. That never brings a feeling of, man, that was good. That was good. That gossip session, that rocked, man. I feel really good about myself. But if you practice discretion and keep a confidence, you will. I can't describe it to you any other way, but you will. Ditto going to church. Ditto making Christians your best friends. And as you do that and you walk in godliness step by step, you are going to be a man or woman of dignity. You're going to be a man or woman who's given more responsibilities, who's actually esteemed greater. And you're going to have this internal joy, I guess is the word, joy, delight, encouragement. Hey, the Lord's controlling me. The Lord is controlling me. He's running my life. Cool. Okay, that's the best feeling I could come up with. Cool. Jimmy, do you have any idea what I'm trying to articulate here?
Kinda.
I wish I could do it better. Really, seriously, have you ever gossiped about somebody and left and gone, you know what? Now I feel right. Now I got, it's good today. No, you don't. You probably just don't feel anything. Maybe you feel a little guilt, but if you're a perpetual gossiper, you don't. It doesn't bring joy, but discretion does. Keeping a confidence does. Yeah, you could share something. Maybe it would bring you a little bit of positive affirmation because you're in the know. Try not doing it. Just try it and see how that feels. It feels gooder. Idea at wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I first heard John MacArthur on February 10th, 2007 in Wisconsin. He preached on the prodigal son. I was 16 at the time, had only been a Christian for just over 5 months. Prior, I had been a God-hating, feministic, socialistic, idol worshiper. I'm thankful to have been exposed to godly preachers early in my walk as it helped lay a strong foundation for the Word of God.
Yep. Yeah. Take that email, times about a million. That's the legacy of John MacArthur. There's so much that can be said. And I honestly believe that John would just shudder. Because, you know, there are some people that just, they dig things like, you know, birthdays and sell. And then there's other people that are like, oh, please don't, please don't. I think John MacArthur was let's not talk about me. So I think at some point he might say, enough, everybody. Enough. Thanks, but enough of that. Nevertheless, if we're eulogizing rightly, talked about this in a video, if we're eulogizing rightly, it's not easy, but you need to, of course, consider the accomplishments or the positive contributions of the one about whom you're speaking well, but never without knowing who's pulling those strings. If you will, John, like me, like you, we're puppets. We're puppets. And somebody's pulling our strings. Now, it's either the world, the flesh, and the devil, or it's Jesus. But your strings are being pulled. And Jesus is the one who is pulling all the strings for godliness, sanctification, all of the accomplishments that would be considered good things. All Jesus. So we look at the individual and go, wow, Jesus, that you empowered a man to do those things. You know, without getting too over the top regarding John, if you just consider the staggering list of accomplishments that will go underneath that man's name, a guy can't do that. Oh, granted, he had so many great people helping him. He really did. He just... That must have been an aspect of his character I just never got exposed to, the wisdom of identifying individuals who are good and godly and smart and helpful and who are on the same team of just getting the word of King Jesus out there. He must have been very good at that. So yeah, he had all of those people, but there's no way a guy could accomplish everything he did. Ultimately, we should look at the ministry of John MacArthur and go, wow, what Jesus can do. Wow. He's amazing. And that isn't always easy to do when you're in the process of mourning. But I think it's what we should be striving to do. Recognize the good John MacArthur did, but only in as far as we give ultimate credit to Jesus. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, are the NAR or Word of Faith followers by definition pagan?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm so glad that you picked that word. Hold on a second. Let me just grab my MacArthur study. Well, look at that. I just put my glasses on to discover I've got two more pairs of glasses on here. That's why I can't find them any place. Okay. Go First Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. That's the New Testament. Paul is going to give a list of ways that you're not supposed to walk. In chapter 4, he's talking about, hey, this is how you walk. This is how you walk. And then he continues with that in chapter 5. Walk in love. Be imitators of God. Now, here's verse 3. Fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness. What? These are sins of the heart. or covetous, let them not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So put off, put on. For this you know, no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, or who is an idolater, has any kingdom, pardon the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. With who? With the pagans. Greed is idolatry. Greed is not godly. Greed is pagan. Word of faith. Those that promote God wants you to be rich. Let me tell you, if God wanted you to be rich, you wouldn't know what to do with all of your money. God wants you richer in rich ways, not just mere cash. And to be greedy and to promote greed, yeah, that's idolatry. This is Wretched Radio.